May the next few moments glorify you, improve us, make us more like Christ, and result in your will. And Lord, it is that promise that we claim at this time, that you will use all things, even right here and now, for the good of those who are called according to your purpose. For that is us, and this is now. As always, it's in Christ's name that we gather. It's to His name we sing praises. And it's in the most holy and precious name of Jesus that we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. I want to invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 this morning. I want to thank Wes for preaching the last couple of weeks. He's in the middle of a four-part series through Habakkuk that's very good and very insightful and God-led, and I know that we're all going to benefit from it. He came to me many months ago, and said, let's do a four-part series. And I said, I got a baby coming right about the 1st of November. Let's do it then. So that's been in the works since back in the spring, and I'm sort of interrupting him here, breaking it up a little bit, which you never is ideal, but all that being the case, I've got knee surgery in 10 days, and I'm not going to be the most mobile. I'm gonna bring a message to you today and next week, and then we'll let Wes get the second half of his series following that, and looking forward to it greatly. Philippians chapter 4, this Thanksgiving week, I'm going to read to you verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I love this passage. I love passages like it where we're encouraged, where we're told to rejoice, where we're given the hope of understanding. I love passages like this because it is very fitting to us in this day and age, and it was very fitting to the people in Philippi and all over the Roman Empire ever since and from now on, okay? It tells us to rejoice. It tells us to let your gentleness be evident to all. It says don't be anxious, but in everything pray and petition. Be thankful, present your request to God, and you'll receive the peace. And whatever is good and true and holy and noble, think about these things and put into practice what you've seen people who are like that do. That, you know what? That's a great mouthful right there. And the thing I love about this passage is it's just good old-fashioned good advice, okay? This is not one of those things where God has said, right here, all right, you better do that or else. You better hop to that and you better not mess it up. No, it's not like that at all. No, it's just good advice. It's good loving advice from a loving father. And it ought to be taken as such. Wow, you know what? That makes a lot of sense. That is pure love. It is good advice. And we're going to break down a couple of things here that's just good advice. The first thing that Paul tells us, and it's just good advice, is to rejoice. Rejoice. We have much to rejoice about, do we not? We have much to praise God about. Everything we could ever need or ever even think about needing, God provides. Everything that we've ever been in danger from, God protects. And even when we're allowed to go through trials, He walks through us with it, and there is much to rejoice in that. For all the negativity and all the killjoy in the world, the good advice that God gives us through the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Philippians is rejoice. He says, I will say it again, rejoice. You've heard me say many times over the last decade, if God says something twice, okay, lean over and pay close attention. He really wants you to get it. There's much to rejoice about. He says, let it be evident. All right, let it be evident that you're rejoicing, is what he's implying. You know, there's all these wildfires going on in western North Carolina, and it's burned thousands and thousands of acres of woodlands and that sort of thing. But we're aware of it, right? Okay, and people in Tennessee and Georgia and even South Carolina, the smoke has made its way, you know, into their area. And I was hearing it was even some as far as here this past week. The smoke was evident, okay? We're nowhere near that fire, all right? But the effects of it can be seen, all right? There's something going on in western North Carolina that is so powerful that we can see the effects of it from dozens, if not hundreds, of miles away. Why am I telling you this? Here's what I'm saying to you. As Paul tells us out of good advice in the Holy Spirit to rejoice, I say it again, rejoice. What he is saying is, well, to rejoice. And what I'm trying to tell you is, you can't see the fire, but you can see the effects of it. Let's you and I start a fire right here of rejoicing to the Lord, rejoicing for all He's done, being an example of what it means to rejoice, and the effects of that fire will be seen well outside the confines of this church. Amen? Even when others aren't doing it, let's rejoice. There is much to be thankful for. The second thing that he gives us is just a really good piece of advice. He says, besides saying, let your gentleness be evident to all, making it evident with your rejoicing and your gentleness, he says, do not be anxious about anything. Yeah, right. Okay. Shaw. That's the way it used to go. Don't be anxious about anything. That's like telling somebody just lost their job. Okay, don't worry. I know the bills are due, but don't worry. No, it's not that easy. Well, yeah, okay. But that is some kind of good advice. Don't be anxious about anything. You should be too busy rejoicing in all that God is and all He's done and all He's provided for you to be able to be anxious. But anxiety is a way of life in the world today. Amen? There's a National Anxiety Center. All right, yes, there is such a thing as that. In Maplewood, New Jersey. And it's maybe not exactly what you would think it is. The center is a sort of a clearinghouse for information about what they have deemed scare campaigns that are designed to influence opinion and public policies and just the trends of our culture, all right? And what this Center for Anxiety, National Anxiety Center, has found is they polled people and done top 10 lists of what's making people worried or anxious. What they've found over the decades is people are anxious or have anxiety about what people are anxious or have anxiety about. In other words, we're worried about the things that people are worried about. We're worried and anxious about the things that are the hot button issues and most reported topics in all the news media and on the internet and in the newspapers and that sort of thing. What I'm trying to tell you is quite simple. Listen to me very carefully. Anxiety, the very thing that Paul says here not to do, don't be anxious about anything. Anxiety is a contagious disease. And we get it from other people. We'll give you the cure. And it's the VBS answer. Anxiety is a contagious disease. The cure is Jesus Christ. Knowing Him is the cure. Following Jesus is the cure. Worshiping Jesus is the cure. Being like Jesus is the cure for that disease. Acting like Jesus is the cure for anxiety. Exemplifying Jesus is the cure. A lot of times I'll get the sniffles or a cough or headache or something, and my wife will say, well, did you take anything for it? And most of the time I say, well, no, I didn't. Do you find yourself anxious? Do you find yourself worried about a lot of things? Can I ask you this morning, did you take anything for it? It's in your Bible. His name is Jesus, and He wipes all that away. A few weeks ago, I had the sniffles, and it was just running, I mean dripping, all right? And I had to go umpire a ball game one Saturday afternoon. I stopped on the side of the road and went into Circle K or some kind of convenience store because I had to do something about this situation. And sure enough, they had some of that old sign-off, S-I-N-E-O-F-F, all right? That used to be on TV years and years ago. It's a wonder it's even legal because, I mean, you know, you're talking about something at work. Now, it absolutely dried me up till like Thursday. But you take the cure. And the problem will go away. We know about Jesus, but do we know Him? We appreciate Jesus, but do we worship Him? I feel all this anxiety and worry. Jesus is the cure. Get in Him. Couple quotes. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. And even better than that one is worry, anxiety, does not empty tomorrow of its troubles. It empties today of its strength. Worrying doesn't take the problem away from tomorrow. It takes the power away from today. So the good advice is just don't do it. Just don't do it. And as hard as that is, and as difficult as it may seem, that just take something for it. It'll go away. The next thing that Paul gives us is part of good advice. It's good advice to be thankful. It's good advice to give thanks. Thanksgiving is good advice. And that's where we find ourselves. It's that season of the year. Just like it's a good idea every so often, like we do every quarter, to stop what we're doing and remember the Lord's Supper and all that Jesus gave and all that it means and all that it represents, past, present, future, all these things. It's good to do the Lord's Supper. If we didn't do it, people are like, why don't we do that? Just like it's good to stop at least once a year and remember, you know what? Jesus came to this world, born of a virgin, all right, in very humble beginnings, and we celebrate Christmas. Just like every so often, it's good to remember, you know what? They put that man on the cross who was fully God, and he died for our sins on that cross, and 3 days later he was resurrected. Just like it's good ever so often to remember and celebrate these things, it is very good ever so often, and we don't do it often enough, to just stop and be thankful for all that God is. Amen? It helps us. It's good advice. It keeps us centered. Did you know it's healthy, literally healthy, to be a thankful person? Not just good advice, but it is good for your health. Studies, real scientific studies, because there's plenty of money to do these things, evidently, all right? The real scientific studies show that being thankful creates better relationships in your life. People who are thankful and grateful, saying nice things, saying thank you, expressing it to friends and neighbors and strangers alike, tend to have better relationships in their life. Thankful people have better fellowship. That's a good thing, all right? Being thankful has been proven to improve your mental health. Studies show that it is proven to reduce toxic emotions and the body chemicals associated with them. Being thankful increases happiness, reduces depression. Being thankful enhances empathy and reduces aggression. There was a 2012 study at the University of Kentucky that participants who ranked high in thankfulness were less likely to retaliate against others even when given negative feedback. A study showed that being thankful helps people sleep better. All right, now I've got your attention because we all value that. Particular study showed that people in a group who sat down 15 minutes before going to bed and hand wrote down a list of things that they were thankful for got much better sleep than the people who didn't. Being thankful helps us rest. It improves your self-esteem. A 2014 study showed that being grateful increased athletes, who were the ones in the study, self-esteem, and it translated every time to better performance because they were thankful for all that God had given them. They were thankful for the people around them. It increases mental strength. The 2003 study showed that being thankful for what you have increases mental resilience. And finally, it was found that thankful people have been found to take better physical care of themselves. So being a thankful person and exercising that is good for your mental health, it's good for your psychological health, it's good for your emotional health, and it's good for your physical health. It's just good advice. But what Paul is suggesting when he says make it evident to all, present your request to God, and you'll receive all this peace, what he's saying is that we should not only be thankful, but we should express it, okay? We should express it outwardly. Like worship, we can, if it's not expressed, okay, it's not truly manifested. We can say, well, I worship God, but if you're not doing it outwardly, it's not fully expressed. Like love, okay, if it's only felt but not shown, if it's just stated but not lived out, it rings very hollow and suspect. You say, well, you say you love, you say you respect, you say you worship, but I don't see it. It needs to be manifest. needs to be expressed, is what Paul is saying in his good advice. Robinson Crusoe is a lead character in the title, a novel by that title by Daniel Defoe. It was published in April of 1719. It's about a castaway who spends 30 years marooned on a remote tropical island near Trinidad, encountering all kinds of perils. When Crusoe was wrecked on his island, as the story goes, he drew up two columns of what he called, according to him, good and evil. And it, as the novel goes, it went something like this. He was cast on a desolate island, but he was still alive. All right? Everybody else on the boat had drowned. They had passed. He was divided from mankind and banished from all human society. For those of us who are introverts, that doesn't sound so bad, but anyway. But he was not starving. He had plenty to eat. He had no clothes, but as it would have it, he was in a warm climate where they weren't required. He was without means of defense, but he saw no wild animals such as he'd seen off the coast of Africa. He didn't have a soul to speak to, but God had sent the ship so near to the shore after being wrecked that he could get all the things he needed. So he concluded there was not any condition in the world so miserable but that there was something positive to be thankful for, even in it. That's what Robinson Crusoe decided. A little bit more modern and a true story is about Cornelia Corrie ten Boom. Corrie ten Boom was a Dutch watchmaker and a Christian who in World War II, along with her father and her mother and other family members, helped many, many, many Jews escape the Holocaust taking place against them in the war. And eventually her and her sister were captured and imprisoned for doing that. In The Hiding Place, which is the book she wrote, autobiography about her situation, she tells about an incident where her and her sister were transferred to a new imprisonment camp, the worst one that they had experienced while in Germany. It was called Ravensbrück. Upon entering the barracks at this prison, they found them to be extremely overcrowded and extremely flea-ridden, flea-infested. That morning, their scripture reading in 1 Thessalonians, much like what we're reading out of Philippians chapter 4, reminded them to rejoice in all circumstances. Okay, they're in a flea-ridden concentration camp during World War II. But reminded them to rejoice in all circumstances, to pray constantly, and to give thanks in all circumstances. Betsy told little Corrie to stop and thank God for every single detail of their new living quarters. And so she began to do so, but at first she refused to give thanks for the fleas. She refused to be thankful for the fleas, but Betsy insisted that Corrie thank God even for the fleas, and so she did it. During the months these girls spent at this particular prison, they were surprised to find how easily and openly they could have their devotions and their Bible study and prayer without any interference from the guards who would have stopped them. It was not until several months later that they learned the reason that the guards wouldn't come into the barracks was the fleas. Every situation you and I know, every single circumstance that we've ever lived through, every trial that you and I have ever endured, every victory that you and I have experienced, everything that you and I like and everything that we don't like, they all fall into one of two categories. Either God is blessing you or He's teaching you. He's molding you. He's leading you. He's trying to improve you, which is just another way of blessing you. All of it. Paul says, let it be evident to all. Thankfulness that is not expressed rings hollow and suspect. Let us express our thanks. What are you thankful for this morning? It's your turn. I'll add to that. I may not like the way the primaries or the elections went, but I thank God that we live in a nation where they're held. Very few people throughout history have experienced a situation where two opposing sides can exchange power without bloodshed, and we do it every 4 to 8 years. Thankful for that. What else? What are you thankful for? Salvation, God's forgiveness. One particular list that someone made out said, I'm thankful for the taxes I pay. It means I have a job. I'm thankful for the clothes that just a little too tight because it means I've got enough to eat. I'm thankful for a lawn that needs mowing, windows that need cleaning, gutters that need emptying, because it means I have a home. I'm thankful for my huge heating bill, because it means we're warm. And I'm thankful for piles of laundry, because it means there's loved ones nearby. What are you thankful for? Express it. Let me close with this. All day long and every night, you're being bombarded with a similar message. The world says that you have something to complain about. That you deserve better. That you are missing out. God says that you and I have a lot to be thankful for. Who are you going to believe? Who are you going to listen to? Now that's a rhetorical question. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for, again, just being you. We thank you for forgiving us of our failures this morning, last night, this past week, our entire lives. Lord, you are a God who pours out forgiveness on us and then sees fit to use us in ways that only you can, to give us a purpose in ways that only you can, to give us hope and peace and a future like only you can. God, thank you for blessing us and for getting us through and putting us into difficult situations that ended up once again blessing us. There is nothing beyond your ability to bring good out of. There is nothing that we can't thank you for. Mold our hearts, dear God, into people who are thankful for all that your hand has provided. Lord, if there's anyone in this room today who has not been so thankful for your act on the cross at Calvary that they've given their life to you, Lord, I pray that they would do that even now. That they'd be so thankful that you died for their sins, that you want to save their soul, that you want to change their life, that out of that gratitude they'd come to you, if for no other reason than the blessing that'll be to the people they love the most. So, Lord, we commit it as always all to you, and we thank you in advance for what you are going to do. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.